All right, so Andy, I saw you looking at it. I saw it this morning. There's a video that's circulating of Victor Wembanyama juggling three basketballs. It looks like he's juggling oranges because he's such a big guy. Do you guys have any party tricks? Like, do you have a thing that you can do that would impress somebody?
I used to be able to, Slee, reach into that jar over there that has pennies and hand me like five or six of them. Yeah. I used to be able to do this. I don't know if I can do it anymore. Jorge can do it. Jorge Briones.
I used to be able to do it.
Okay, so let's see how many I can do. I'll try and do 10. All right, so this is one,
how many
two,
you could eat?
3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, so let's see. Used to be able to put these on the end of my elbow.
The Fonz did this in an episode. Hold on. Yes. You're going to go flying my way if you miss, by the way.
I'll do it.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Got him. Nice. How many was that?
That was 10.
Okay.
I'm so glad you said that, Travis, because in my head, I was remembering this episode of Happy Days where clearly they were running out of ways for Fonz to prove how cool he was, where he ended up beating somebody
15.
In a quarter stacked on the elbows contest.
Well, you know, that was the origin of Jump the Shark.
All right, here we go.
No, there's the water skis that was the Jump the Shark.
Oh, I heard him hit the floor.
One. Very close.
13 to 15.
But I mean, like, I remember that, Travis, except there's always been a part of me that's doubted it because I'm like, that is so dumb. It's so stupid.
Well, is it any dumber than the cool kid having his office in the bathroom of a burger joint? Like, when you really stop and break down the Fonz's deal, not super impressive guy. There's, you know, like when you really kind of think he's hanging out with high school kids as an adult. His office is the men's room at the local diner. It's like there's not a lot going on.
He would end up on some type of list.
Yeah, he was the guy that your parents would have warned you.
I would fail at 15 and then try and do 20.
Like Fonz sounds like a guy that would be driving around a white van.
Yeah, stay away from that Arthur kid.
Like there really is a lot that in retrospect makes him seem like, frankly, a social outcast with a lot of problems.
Fonz, LA Live, probably 6-7 years ago, going up the elevator. Fonz walked in, and we go up the elevator
together. Henry Winkler.
Yes.
No kidding.
Walked up that. I had no idea.
He's a great guy.
Had no idea what he was doing, and then I got off the elevator, and
that's it. Did you do anything?
No, I said, what floor are you going to? And he said, 3. I'm like, cool. My fob does not work to 3. Good luck. Have a great day. Try Tom's Urban. It's really good.
You got to say something to the Fonz, right?
Okay, Slee. These are 10.
Are you trying again, John?
Yeah, I'm going to try 20.
All right.
I fail. I got 10. Okay, so that's 10. I'm going to have you put those on my elbow.
Oh, because you're going to fall.
Yeah,
you're going to fall.
I can't physically do it once
you. You would be better off if you took your jacket off, by the way. I think you want a flatter surface.
If this party trick was going on and it's going this long, they start?
They've usually moved on to somebody else.
Behind that row.
All right. Let's see. So, Slee's behind.
No, behind. Oh.
Yeah. This, by the way, will be part of hour two of the Mandy's.
All right, here we go. Let's go.
Close.
19.
I think we just keep adding.
I always had it.
I'm gonna get a broken arm.
I'm shocked.
It's actually it's actually hour one.
I am shocked it took Morales this long to run in to save this thing.
What happened?
Do you have any party tricks, Chris?
I was in a meeting.
Do you have any party tricks?
Yeah, find out Saturday night.
All right.
Hey now.
But I do have something real.
What do you got?
Okay.
Can you vamp while I put my head?
I absolutely can vamp. John, what's your record for pennies? Did we just see it at 19?
No, I used to be able to do 30, but I haven't done it in so long that I'm surprised I got 19.
How soon you're drunk,
John,
too.
Was nice and tan.
I played golf today.
Very nice.
Trav, I had one of those rounds where I could not miss a putt.
Oh, that's a good day.
I mean, it so very rarely happens, but I probably should have shot 42 or 43. I shot 36 on the back.
Wow.
I made everything.
Beautiful.
So, you know, the next time I play, it's going completely the other way.
You're going to miss everything.
Well, I shot 41. I shot 77, which is a really good score for me.
That's great.
But I'm thinking the last time I played, I shot 87.
Did you make any putts that were as long as the one that I made when Chris and I beat you in the
one?
Oh, really?
One for birdie, too.
All right. Yeah. Not bad.
But, so, I wanted to take a quick break from our all hands on deck Mandy's run of show meeting. Andy, before we put this in, are you for sure that you want to compete against Travis Rogers?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this.
Will your performance be better than Bergman's last year?
Oh, I am confident, if nothing else, if Travis beats me, I will be more respectable than Bergman.
Well, Greg technically won if you go back to the
Bergman's
footage.
Bergman's performance was so bad that that's why Mason got hammered before the show.
Yeah, well, one of many reasons.
Only problem with Greg is 82% of the beer did not go in his mouth. That was the only issue.
I think if nothing else, I can equip myself more respectfully than Bergman. I do. I think I can make this a contest.
I could see AK doing some work back in his days.
Now,
problem is Trav does it as if he was at Santa Barbara yesterday.
The problem is Travis never retired.
Yeah, he never retired.
You guys make it sound like I'm doing it on a Friday night at a restaurant.
You
are. I'm not doing that. But when I'm challenged, I'm game. I'm ready to go.
I'm just letting anyone know, anyone who has mythical money, I will bet whatever you want on Travis. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. Andy kind of slow played this a little bit, which gives me a little bit of concern.
Now, it will be Michelob Ultra.
There could be a listener.
The official beer of the Mandy Awards, Michelob Ultra.
Sure. That's good for this.
Yeah,
it's perfect. That is good for this because it's not too thick.
We agreed. We're not doing like an Imperial Stout.
We're not doing a
Carl Strauss has a new IPA
No. That's all I had. I just wanted to confirm it before we begin.
So, is it
today.
Official part of the run of schedule?
It will be now, right all before right. we give
I'll
out.
I'll do it. Why not?
Right before we give out Michelob Ultra.
We'll do it live.
Hey, Chris, do we still have a pair of tickets, of Mandy's tickets to give away?
Yeah, and you know how we're going to give it away?
Well, I wrote a quiz.
Let's do a quiz.
Okay. Not read it out loud, but tell me if that quiz is too easy, too hard, or just right. The first person who can answer all five of those.
What is the genre?
It's all about us. Okay. Mm. It's all about, and you have to listen. There's a question in there that comes from your show.
Okay.
There's a question in there that comes from our show. There is a question that comes from the world of Morales. There is a whole bunch of, but if you, we're going to do it at 2:15. So if you want to go to the Mandy's, saw a guy today at the golf course, goes, I'll see you Saturday. I'm going to the Mandy's.
Excellent. Beautiful.
So we're going to give away a pair of tickets at 2:15. But don't even try if you don't listen to the station regularly.
The answer to my question is cotton. Cotton, not lace. That's the answer to my question.
Lace is even...
Well, sometimes on the golf course it's nice if you have a little lace on.
I don't let you tell that story.
Oh, great. A story that you can't tell.
Try it, and then we'll see what happens. Tell the story.
All right.
we'll deal with the repercussions.
It was cold, okay? So I wore a pair of long underwear underneath my pants.
Okay. When was this?
This was a couple of years ago. Okay. So playing golf, and I'm getting ready to hit this shot. So long underwear does not fit as snugly as regular underwear, right?
Correct.
So it's a little roomier along the way. And there was a ball where, you know, John, occasionally you'll have to have your 1 foot into the bunker and 1 foot out of the bunker.
Yeah, we call that a hokey pokey. And in my game, you get an extra dollar from everybody if you par the hole that way.
I had a hokey pokey.
All right.
And as you're getting ready to swing in a hokey pokey, you know, you kind of do the little waggle.
Yeah.
Well, I had never been in long underwear trying to hit a hokey pokey. And it's like a bell. Everything's moving around.
Uh-oh.
That's not how it's supposed to move around. So I've never been able to think of long underwear and not associate it with the hokey pokey.
So we have 18 junks in my Saturday game. Like hokey pokey's one. And this is if you make par, if this happens to you and you make par. For example, Sandy. If you hit the ball in the sand and you hit it out and you make par, you get a buck from everybody. So that's $3. We have a pulley. If you make a putt longer than the pole.
The flag stick.
A barkey, you know,
off
you hit
tree.
A tree, and you make a pull. We have an all-orange. You hit a duck and make par. you get a dollar.
Do you have like a bookkeeper for all of this? Who's keeping track of everything?
We actually have two people. It's so hard to keep score that I keep it, and my friend Tom Sturgis keeps it. And but we're now up to 17 of them, and the hardest one.
17.
We have 17 junks. The hardest one is a mermaid. Okay, a mermaid is you hit the ball in the water and then still somehow make par.
Hole out, par five, you could do it.
Yeah, we've only seen it happen twice. Mm.
Does it pay more?
Here, hard to do. Yes, it pays double. Yeah, so the mermaid is so hard to do that it pays double. Also, if you get a turtle, it pays double. That means we compete for top ball, bottom ball on every hole. You know, it's like me and you playing against Andy and Slee. And if we beat them, if we take both points three holes in a row, that's a turtle.
Why turtle?
I don't know. We just make stuff up.
Well, the reason I asked bowling, is all orange made perfect sense when you
bowling,
explained it.
In bowling, it's a turkey. And we didn't want it to be a turkey, so we said we'll call it a turtle.
John, question from yesterday. Your shootout that you did.
Yeah.
Okay. Form on point.
Yeah.
The shots you hit were
all switches.
Nylon.
Yeah.
And then
I haven't shot a basketball in 2 years. I think
but
that.
But you know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
The shots that went in, it looked like you were an 80% free throw shooter.
I was not. I shot 50%. I made 5 out
of
10.
And the ones you missed were way off.
I just hadn't. I hadn't shot. And Bergman, I tried to negotiate more warm-ups, but Bergman only allowed me 2.
Jesus, great.
Yeah. And
that's
so,
not enough.
Yeah. So, but I'll do better next time.
Not formless on point.
Yeah.
How many would you make, Slee? If you're 40% from the corner on threes, what are you making from the foul?
What were those? Free throws?
Yeah.
6.
Yeah, I think that's a good number. If I did it again, I think I could make 7, but we'll see.
It's 6. So if we were setting the over-under, is it 5.5 or is it 6.5?
It's 5.5. No, it should be 6.5.
For me, 6.5.
6.5?
Yeah. Yeah, then I wouldn't even know which way to bet. I think I can make 7, but I don't know.
You sure? It's outside. That lowers the number for sure.
Yeah, and it was cold. You know,
and those rims are tight as can be.
And I said to Bergman, are these carnival rims? Like, you know,
yeah,
when you go to the carnival, it didn't seem like it. It seemed like they were legit rims.
I get roped into those.
Didn't you win the prize at Magic Mountain when you were out
there? I kept
winning
the miniature ball. I was winning the miniature ball, and you needed like 8 points to get the big ball. I got 7 twice. It's $10 a pop for a round of shots. I mean, I don't know.
Is there a money ball like the 3-point contest?
No money ball.
Okay.
Oh, no, actually, no. The final ball, the rack, I think was worth 2, something like that.
How much can you sell those mini balls on the open market? Try to get back as much of your $10 per pop as possible.
They're worth $4 in the open market, so I'm at a net 6 for every game, net 12. That's where I'm at right now.
Picture you in the parking lot at Magic Mountain. Instead of the coat with the watches, you know, he's just got a little rack of Clipper mini basketballs.
Kids were trying to play them, like, not right now.
Guys. No, they're paid for. They're not hot.
Just take them. I don't want them in my car. You can have them. Super Crosstalks brought to you by...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
1:15 in the Southland on a live imaging Tuesday on Mason in Ireland. It is Mantis week, which means any sort of special week, John, Mace has to take a few days off just so it feels special, you know?
Let's just say he's scheduled to appear tomorrow, but we'll see.
As long as he's there Saturday night for the Mantis 2, we hope. But the great Andy Kamenetsky, AK, sitting in. Andy?
Christopher.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Beautiful. We're getting ready for Mandy's, baby.
It's exciting.
And we got a pair of tickets to give away. John Ireland has a special quiz today at 2:15, right?
2:15, Chris. And I'm making this announcement right now. If you don't listen to the station regularly, you have no shot.
And if you don't listen, then what's wrong with you? Why are you so
These
gutless?
These tickets will be given to someone who is a fan of 710. So if you are a fan of 710, be sure to tune in to 2:15 and call in to try and win Mandy's ticket.
Well, if you don't listen regularly, you have no business being at the Mandy's anyway.
Right.
And by the way, we will still do our usual fare of Yacht Rock on a Tuesday, too.
Beautiful.
So let's get the show rolling, producer Jorge. Mason in Ireland, your Tuesday right now.
Well, you heard Chris say it. Andy Kamenetsky filling in for Mace. Mason in Ireland, we are T-minus 4 to the Mandy Awards. Yesterday, we had a great day out with BBGO in Koreatown. Gave away, we just ate a lot of Korean food, basically, is what we did.
How great are the dumplings?
Everything was good.
Yeah.
I had, you know, they were giving out these samplers.
Right.
I normally, you know, I'm sure I'll try one. I stopped at 4.5.
BBGO is so good.
Yeah, and
so good.
And so if you're looking for snack food, BBGO is the way to go. And the mural looks great. It's right in the middle of Vermont Avenue in Koreatown. It was really, really fun.
You and Michael did an amazing job. And you know, I'm not one to always compliment MT
because
he doesn't like me. John, you're my boy.
Sedano is your boy.
No, but you're both my boys.
We'll see.
Chris
on
has
Saturday.
A lot of boys in the stable.
We'll see on Saturday. Sam Morales is always at the center of the universe. At the Mandy's.
It's so Keyshawn's night. I'm just there as the sidekick.
Is once again Key technically the host?
Technically,
like
he is the host, yes.
Okay.
He's our morning man, the great Keyshawn Johnson, son of Troy, man of Troy. Number one overall pick, 1996.
Oh, really? I hadn't heard that from Key
just
directly.
Saying. Just saying.
Many times.
Just saying.
In one show.
All right, so that is Commerce Casino Saturday night, and Chris will be in with several reminders throughout the day today on a Live Imaging Tuesday. And I'm glad, Andy, you're here today because there's a lot of Lakers stuff I want to get to. And for people who don't know, Andy and his brother Brian host a Locked On Lakers podcast Monday through Friday. On average, what time does it drop?
It drops, the audio will drop midnight of every new day. So if you're up late and you want to get up on the new Lakers podcast, just midnight, it will automatically appear in your subscription feed. The YouTube component, though, we tend to get, if we can, try to get it maybe an hour before the new day begins, just so you can even have it a little bit earlier if you want to watch the show. And that's part of the Locked On Lakers YouTube channel. So you should subscribe to that as well.
There are all sorts of NBA-related stories surrounding the finals. There's no game tonight. They will resume tomorrow night. And let's start with this. Andy, I'm surprised. I would imagine this is a topic that has either come up or will come up on the Locked On Lakers podcast.
I believe I know where you're going, and it is today's topic du jour, John.
Why does this LeBron is maybe going to the Mavericks thing get any traction? I don't think it's even worth discussing yet. I seem to be the only one not discussing it.
Well, it's definitely worth discussing, John, because it's June. So right. we need to be discussing it. The reason,
but
though,
there isn't anything to it, is there?
I don't think there's anything to it. The reason it stays alive is because everybody knows that LeBron would like to play with Kyrie if possible. He has been very open about this beyond what has been reported. And nobody is quite sure whether Kyrie truly wants to be in Dallas. He was traded there. He did not choose to go to Dallas. And the Mavericks had a very disappointing season, particularly after Kyrie arrived. So that's where the rumor mill just will not end connecting these two. I'll tell you right now, as long as LeBron is a Laker, you will hear about Kyrie to the Lakers, LeBron and Kyrie playing together. That is going to be a thing for as long as LeBron is a member of this team. Like, it won't stop.
All right, you're going to have to play this, Funch, because I can't find it. But the other thing that people are discussing is whether or not the Lakers are going to extend Anthony Davis when he is eligible in August. And I'm surprised that this is a debate. I'm a big AD guy. I think that he's one of the best big men in the league. I know Laker fans get frustrated when he doesn't have back-to-back great games. But, Andy, defensively, he's as good as anybody.
Absolutely.
Yet, here's Dave McMenamin talking about whether or not he thinks, and Dave covers the Lakers more than anybody. He was on yesterday with Sedano and Cap. Here's Dave talking about whether or not he thinks the Lakers will extend Anthony Davis at their first opportunity.
You just don't do it. You play out this year with him. You see where things stand with him and LeBron. Obviously, then you risk the second year he has left. He could opt out and leave as free agent. But listen, I've said this many times. The best thing about the Lakers trade for Dwight Howard was not re-signing Andrew Bynum to a long-term deal and not getting anything out of it. And, you know, you hope that Anthony Davis stays healthy and you get the best out of him next year. But I just don't think they're going to be in the position to be interested in a long-term extension for him this summer.
That shocks me, Andy, because I just assumed that this was fait accompli. Does it surprise you that that's Dave's position?
It's a little bit surprising, just in the sense that the Lakers always love to operate with at least one star in hand. Like, that's just the franchise ethos. It's the way they've always been, for better and I think occasionally for worse. They are an organization that is first and foremost always about stars. What to me makes it not shocking necessarily is Anthony Davis has not yet proven that he can be the undisputed number one for an elite contending team. He can be about as good a number two as exists, depending on who your number one is. And there are times where he can play like a number one,
but he has not proven that he can absolutely be that guy. And when the Lakers traded for Anthony Davis, it was, I think, with the idea that by now, the proverbial torch would have been passed from LeBron to AD, and you would have no doubt about who really is the focal point of this team, like the proverbial engine of the car that LeBron is steering. There's, I think, reason to doubt AD can be that guy, so maybe that does alter their long view of what their future would be with AD. That's the rationale.
I'm more in this camp. Here's Brian Windhorst talking about whether he thinks AD will be extended first opportunity in August.
Anthony Davis is still in his prime. If you want to focus on his shortcomings and the negatives, go have at it. The man is an absolute dominating player. He's vitally important for any team having postseason hopes and dreams, and they do not want him messing with free agency in 2024. That's a primary offseason thing for the Lakers. Get Anthony Davis locked down past when LeBron is even signed for.
Isn't he right?
If I had to guess, I would assume the Lakers would be looking to lock up Anthony Davis, if for no reason than just to be able to have him in the fold. If they want to move him down the road, if he wants to be moved down the road, you can do that. But again, if they have doubts about the long-term future of Anthony Davis, specifically without LeBron, because LeBron is only going to be here so many years longer.
Right.
You know, next season could be his last, depending on what ends up happening. He's got a $50-ish million contract that he can opt into. It's a player option for 24, 25. Yeah. They may want to offer themselves more of just a total clean route moving forward, like more optionality where they're not locked into anything depending on what LeBron does moving forward. Like just giving
not even locked into Anthony Davis. In what world is that not a good move?
Well, again, if you have doubts about Anthony Davis,
do you?
As the unquestioned focal point number one of a team, yeah, I do.
But I'm not saying even if he's not. There's lots of guys that are max contracts who aren't the focal point of their team.
Sure.
You know, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, Holiday.
Right, but those guys are all on the back end of their deals where you would question whether or not they're worth that type of money anyway. Like right. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, you know, respectfully to Michael, those are guys that are not producing at the level of their contract right now.
Right, but I'll use Phoenix as an example. If Kevin Durant's maxed, you don't not max Devin Booker.
Right, but those guys are still, particularly Devin Booker, they're still producing at what you would expect from a max-level player.
And you don't think Anthony Davis is?
I think Anthony Davis is a really interesting case because defensively he is everything as advertised, and he is a skilled, talented offensive guy, but his offense is not as consistent as you would want for a guy that will be the focal point number one of an elite team. And there's always the question of his health and the games missed and trying to build around that.
Well, that I understand. The last thing you said, I understand. If this is about his availability.
Well, it's all part of it. It's all
then,
part of it.
Then I get it.
Especially
but
as he ages.
In terms of whether or not I would max Anthony Davis, right. I mean, it's not my money. It's the Lakers' money, but it's a no-brainer.
But remember, though, you're talking about maxing him into his mid-30s, where if sort of the pattern and I think just sort of logic holds, he's only going to start becoming more injury-prone. You're only going to worry about him missing more games. Hmm. And again, he's the guy that theoretically everything's built around, unless you can find someone else where you slate Anthony Davis as the number two, but it's hard to do.
All right, if you're a Laker fan, today is an anniversary of something that you will remember that happened 22 years ago. We'll cover that. And where does Nikola Jokic rank in the all-time greats of the NBA? The opinions on this are all over the place. Andy Kamenetsky's filling in for Mace. I'm John Ireland. Mason and Ireland, ESPN LA.
Oh, yeah. Live Imaging Tuesday with Mason and Ireland. Just remind you that... that little blonde summer girl that got away.
Mm-hmm.
When Paul Davis, right, is singing about a cool night.
All right, somebody sent me a great blonde joke the other day. You guys want to hear it?
Sure.
Okay. So a very attractive brunette goes into the doctor's office.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
And she says to the doctor, my whole body hurts wherever I touch it. And the doctor goes, really? She goes, yeah, watch. And she touches her elbow and she shrieks in pain.
Shrieks?
Yes. Then she touches her knee, same thing. Very painful. Then she touches her ankle, same thing.
Right.
Shrieks in pain. And the doctor goes, I think I know what's going on here. She says, really? What? He goes, are you a natural brunette? And she says, no, I'm a blonde. And he said, your finger's broken.
Poor blondes. They get a bad rap, man.
Well, you're the one that brought up the little cool night blonde thing. I thought it would fit in with the theme.
Oh, I love it. By the way, it is Mandy's week. 4 days until the second annual Mandy Awards Saturday night at the Commerce Casino. And, of course, all the voting, every award. There's only two people in this building and on Saturday night that know the results. Tommy Lamb.
Jorge knows, doesn't he? Doesn't he have to know?
No, I think he produced all the packages, and then he will find out as we give away the category.
Okay.
And then the great Joseph Marmolejo, who's in Tommy's department.
They're the Price and Waterhouse.
They are the whatever you just said. But all the voting that was done for this from our fans and our listeners was made possible by our friends at Power Pro Plumbing. You know.
I know those guys.
Power Pro Plumbing is celebrating 20 years of delivering top quality plumbing services to our valued customers, and they like John Ireland. And John Ireland's my boy.
Raul, the owner of Power Pro Plumbing, is a huge Laker fan.
And he'll be there.
Yeah, Saturday. Shout out to Alan Triplett, who is my personal plumber from Power Pro Plumbing, who can fix anything, that dude.
It's always key to have a personal plumber.
I was going to say, you know you live in a gated community when you have a personal
Alan
plumber.
Alan is the only one I'll work on our pipes, if you know what I mean.
Well, that's important, too. Or you could be like the plumbers that's on HBO Max right now, of course, about the
White
whole,
House.
I've watched that. Is any good? White House Plumbers?
It's very campy.
It looks campy.
It's a little too campy.
Well, Chris, I have Real Housewives to watch, so if it's not good, I'm not into it.
What are they? Is it still Orange County? Or is this like D.C. or Maryland?
Well, right now, it's all about Vanderpump. It's about Scandoval, Chris.
I haven't gotten into Vanderpump.
Oh, you're missing out. There's dogs and cats sleeping together and pretty much everyone else sleeping together. And that is the latest from our Vanderpump Rules desk.
Don't forget, in about 45 minutes, you could win sold-out Mandy's tickets if you take John Ireland's quiz. So that's coming up around 2:15 right now. More of Ireland and Andy continues.
Okay, so Andy, if Jokic leads the Nuggets to a title, and right now it's 1-1, you know, we're not really sure which way this series is going to go, but the Nuggets are still favored. If Jokic leads them to a title, where does that put him on the NBA's all-time best player list? I was surprised by this. Our old friend Chris Broussard. Chris worked at ESPN for a lot of years, and now he's working over at Fox.
Yeah, Chris is a good dude.
Here's Chris trying to classify Jokic as an all-time great player.
He's ahead of Garnett if he wins this championship.
You put him ahead of Garnett?
Yes. Probably Barkley. I love Barkley. But this dude is leading a team to a championship. And and his numbers are outrageous. He averages a triple-double.
How about Dirk?
No. He's better than Dirk.
All right. Better than Garnett. Better than Kevin Garnett. Better than Charles Barkley. Better than Dirk Nowitzki. You buying that?
I think actually you can make an argument. Absolutely. Like I took a look at some of Garnett's numbers, for example. Jokic has been a better scorer over his career than Garnett was. Sometimes people thought Garnett was too unselfish.
Right.
But
Garnett, elite defender.
Right. Elite defense is the one area where you're going to detract from Jokic in favor of Garnett. But he is every bit, if not more, of the scorer than Garnett was. Garnett was a great passer and playmaker for his position, but Jokic is the best passing big man ever. It's not even debatable. He's every bit the rebounder that Garnett was. He's had more individual success than Garnett. Garnett won one MVP. Jokic has won two. He's had as much playoff success. I know Garnett went to two finals, but he didn't have a ton of playoff success over the course of his whole career.
No, lost in Minnesota in the conference finals to the Lakers.
Right.
And
other than that, it was a bunch of one and dones.
Barkley? You'd put Jokic ahead of Barkley?
He's on a path to having...
Barkley only has one MVP.
Right. He also, too, I mean, remember, this is Jokic at this age with like another 10 years to go.
Yeah.
If nothing else, he's on track to having a more impressive career than Barkley, especially if he ends up getting a couple rings on top of it.
All right. Something else we wanted to get to happened 22 years ago today.
Mm-hmm.
People ask me all the time because I've been working with the Lakers in one capacity to the other since 1997. They say, what's the best Laker team you've ever covered? For me, it's the 2001 Lakers with Ron Harper and Kobe at the guards. And then the, you know, the front line with Shaq at his absolute peak. And, you know, Robert Horry was on that team. And
Rick Fox, Derek Fisher.
And
Isaiah Ryder.
They went 15-1 in the playoffs. The one, the game they lost, happened 22 years ago today. Allen Iverson just went off at what was then known as Staples Center in game one of the NBA Finals. So there's a new documentary on NBA TV called Everything But the Chip. And it's about the 2001 Sixers. And the most famous play from Iverson's 48-point game was the Ty Lue stepover. Ty Lue was chasing Iverson all over the place. And actually, Ty had some success against him later in the series. But nobody could stop him in game one. He had 48 points. And Iverson faked him. Ty fell down. And Iverson stepped over him with these huge, giant steps and made like a... He made a point of stepping over Ty Lue. And I thought since it was 22 years ago today, you'd like to hear they covered that in the documentary. Here's Iverson. You'll also hear Larry Brown talking about that play.
He steps around Lue and drilled it.
7 straight points by Iverson. Looked like he was dead in the water.
I can't tell you what the feeling was like. I can't duplicate it. I was in the moment. I just know he fell in front of me. I don't know how I even thought about stepping over him like that. I was just playing basketball.
I remember I'd look at all the coaches and we'd all kind of smile because we'd never seen anybody do something like that before and probably would never see somebody do it again.
AI dropped 48 in game.
It's interesting, Andy, that was the only game the Sixers won. The Lakers won the next 4 and won the title.
Yep.
But that's the play that gets played from those finals more than any play in any of the 5 games, even though the Lakers won 4 of the 5.
Yeah, I've been a diehard Laker fan for a long time, including watching that series. I remember where I was watching that. It was in some bar that doesn't exist anymore in Pasadena, outdoor place. Been playing golf with some friends. We went to go watch this. Diehard Laker fan, I still thought that's the most badass thing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
like Iverson looked like just a straight badass in that moment.
I haven't seen anything like, taking Larry Brown's point, I haven't seen anything like that before or since. Have you? Is there a comp to that in NBA history?
Not with, to the best of my knowledge, not with that level of just swagger.
Swagger.
And it, to Iverson's point, whether or not he's being truthful that, you know, he doesn't remember it, it wasn't intentional, it looked perfect. It just looked absolutely perfect. Like, he became an action hero for like 1 second. He had like Bruce Willis, John McClane energy in that moment.
So that was, Andy, was just a weird finals. I went to every game of those finals, including the games in Philly, and it was... Philadelphia fans are the most hardcore sports fans in the world. So the series is tied 1-1, and we go back to Philly. Back then, it was 2-3-2.
Yeah.
And in Game 3, Destiny's Child, which was Beyonce and Kelly Rowland and somebody else, is performing at halftime. And so they put one girl, there are 3 girls in the group. They put one girl in a generic NBA jersey. They put Beyonce in a Lakers jersey and Kelly Rowland in a Sixers jersey. I may have the girls wrong, but one girl, generic NBA, one girl Lakers jersey, one girl Sixers jersey. The Sixer fans ignored the fact that one girl was wearing a Sixers jersey and one girl was generic NBA and just focused on, I think it was Beyonce, wearing a Lakers jersey and booed her off the court. Like, completely drowned her out. And we're like, the NBA's like, well, we're bringing in more acts. We're bringing Sugar Ray, who's from L.A., in to sing Game 5. And I went to high school with Mark McGrath and the lead singer of Sugar Ray. And I saw him. I go, hey, man, come here. I go, you can't – I know you're a Laker fan. You can't say anything. You can't say, go Lakers. You can't do – you can't make any Kobe, Shaq. He goes, oh, I know. They've been lecturing me for 2 days. And in order to protect Sugar Ray from getting booed, they had Pat Croce, the Sixers owner – introduce him. He like got on the microphone, my guy Sugar Ray are here, and then the crowd went, Well, okay, Croce likes him. We'll let him sing. And you know what song they sing? When it's over, you know it's over. You know, and it was game five, and the Lakers won the title. It was such a weird series.
Honestly, man, if I'm Mark McGrath, I want to get booed in that moment. As a Laker fan, like, I mean, don't protect me. Like, I would have been calling out Kobe. I would have been calling out Shaq. I would have made it
have
obvious.
Have you ever met McGrath?
I think I have in passing.
Literally might be the nicest guy I've ever met.
I heard he's nice.
Yeah, he's just a really, really solid guy.
But I mean, seriously, as a Laker fan in that house, knowing that your team is going to win that series, I would have relished the idea of getting booed. Like, that sounds more fun than getting cheered.
Little known fact about Mark McGrath, one of his best friends in high school, McG, the film director, who got
Charlie's
his
Angels.
Start... The way he got Charlie's Angels and talked Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore and all those guys into letting him be the director was he did all the Sugar Ray's music videos because they didn't have any money in high school. So that was the start of McG and the start of Sugar Ray back then. Coming up next, we will spin the wheel of questions. And a reminder, 2:15, 2 o'clock call of the day, so that's in 20 minutes, we'll take your phone calls. But at 2:15, we're giving away the one. Chris Morales has given us one pair of Mandy's tickets. I think, Chris, I can assume this may be the only pair I get this week, right? We don't know, but he thinks so. So this could be your last chance. If we can find some more tickets, we will. But as far as I know, these are the only pair of tickets I can give away this week, and we're going to give them away at 2:15. Andy in for Mace. It's a live Imaging Tuesday. Morales will be in and out all day. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
I mean, we could have let tape play. That's the kind of fun and frivolity we have on a live Imaging Tuesday on Mason in Ireland. We are getting ready. It is Mandy's week, counting down 4 days left before Mandy's Award 2, Saturday night at the Commerce Casino. Of course, George Chevrolet is giving out the Man of the People Award. Their help in making it possible. And you know, that might be the only award Travis Rogers actually has a shot at winning. Who knows?
He's the favorite, I would say.
I would say that too.
I voted for him.
Same here. George Chevrolet, your 5-time Chevy Dealer of the Year. Right now, we do it every day around this time. Wheel of Questions time. Spin that wheel, producer Jorge.
Okay, this might reveal something about each one of us. Pretend you're a professional athlete. You can pick the sport. Baseball, football, basketball, soccer, whatever. It's a team sport, okay? Would you rather get paid a lot to be on a bad team or be paid below average to be on an elite team? So in other words, you're going to get a lot of money, but you're not going to win. Or you're going to be underpaid, but you're going to win a lot. Bergman, which deal do you want?
So the only question I have is how many minutes do I get a game on both teams?
Let's say it's the same. 35 minutes a game on either team. You're a rotation, key rotation player.
Then I want to take the less money and be on an elite team if I'm playing 35 minutes a game.
Jorge?
Simple.
I'll take the Mike Trout route.
You want the money.
Yeah, I want
all the money.
And by the way,
team.
Mike Trout is an excellent analogy here. Andy?
By the way, Bergman, 35 minutes a game and underpaid.
I'm going to eventually get paid. Right, I'll get paid eventually.
That's a hell of a setup. Okay, I was thinking about
this. No, you
this.
Won't. Ask Scottie Pippen.
Right. No, it's true.
Okay, I was thinking about this. And, for example, the NBA, the average salary, according to my research, a little under $10 million a year. So
that's average.
On average.
Wow.
Depending on where you live, after taxes, it's about 5 or 6. What I need to know is how long is my career? Because if it's 10 to 15 years, okay, I can make 5 to 6 mil a year work. If I got a short career, I'm taking the money, unless I got to like live in Florida or Texas where there's no state taxes. I don't want to do that.
Well, that could play into it.
Right.
You could be on the Heat playing 35 minutes a game.
And not paying any state tax.
Right.
Okay, if I'm
You could be Duncan Robinson.
Yeah. If I can get Duncan Robinson's career.
Yeah.
Well, he's actually, some would say, overpaid. He's a bad example for this. As long as I'm going to have a long career, I'd like to have a lot of winning with it. Because you're still making a lot of
too many caveats.
The variation of this deal is what makes
it. You got to think it through, man. This is your entire financial livelihood.
First
Bergman.
Of all, Greg, I think you've made a mistake because if you're underpaid, once your career is over, you can't ever get it back. So the question I would ask is, do I have a title yet? Because if I've already won.
Well, if you're elite, you should have a title.
But not necessarily. Charles Barkley never won a title.
No.
I mean, Patrick Ewing never won a title. So, Andy, this is a question Mason and I like openly, honestly disagree about. I'm going to give you a choice of two careers, okay? You can have Patrick Ewing's career, one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history, made a ton of money, never won a title. Or you can have Robert Horry's career, 7 rings. Which one you want?
Horry. He looked like he was having way more fun than Ewing. Like, Ewing often looked miserable in his career. Like, to not win in New York as the number one overall guy, that looks miserable.
If I changed the Ewing character to Charles Barkley, does that change your answer? Another guy who didn't win?
Well, his post-career has been fantastic. I was gonna say, a lot of money.
No, but this is strictly your playing career.
He loses a lot of money, too.
Right, but to Bergman's point, without Barkley having the career that he had as a star who didn't win, he never gets to do all the stuff that comes afterwards.
Right, but this is strictly your career as a player. Would you rather have Charles Barkley's career or Robert Horry's?
Horry looked like he was having so much fun, man.
Yeah, Bergman, where are you on this?
I would rather have Horry's career.
Yeah, me too. Mason says absolutely, and this tells you a lot about me and a lot about Mason. All I want to do is win, all right? That I Robert Horry has, to me, has, I'm more jealous of his career than almost anybody's. Mason wants to be the man.
Well, but Patrick Ewing also had the Patrick Ewing effect from Bill Simmons.
Right, but I think that, like, you can divide the station into, like, I can almost assure you, Cappy would take Ewing or Barkley. Sedano would take Horry. I would take Horry. Mason would take Barkley.
You know what's funny? You should take Horry, because Horry had more championships and made more money, according to Basketball Reference, than Charles Barkley.
Well, Horry yesterday said that he made more money than Barkley.
We asked Rob this yesterday, and he says, I'll take my rings.
Right. I mean, like, Robert Horry made, according to Basketball Reference, I don't want to put his business out in the streets, but he made $53 million, according to Basketball Reference.
Right.
That's an
Charles Barkley made more than that, didn't
no,
he, in his
not
career?
According to Basketball Reference. Oh, wow. No, he did not.
Name Charles Barkley's big shot. What was the big shot that Charles Barkley.
Well,
hit.
In the year he won MVP, he hit a lot of big shots.
Sure.
Including in the playoffs.
But you can say specifically what Robert Horry's shots are out there.
He was unbelievable.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, Robert Horry made an awful lot of money. There's no reason to turn down Robert Horry's career. In a lot of ways, it's perfect. You make a ton of money. Every time you hit a big shot, it's awesome because nobody expected it. But if you miss shots, nobody's on you because they expect Kobe or Shaq or Tim Duncan or whoever to make those shots. Horry's career was, like, perfect.
I have argued for many years, and I'm stealing this argument from Rudy Tomjanovich, who is a great guy, that Robert Horry should be in the Hall of Fame. Can you tell the story of the NBA without Robert Horry? Probably not. He had big shots in Houston, big shots in L.A., big shots in San Antonio, and he won 7 rings.
Yeah, you know what?
Michael Cooper and Robert Horry are the two Lakers that should be in the Hall of Fame that no one is saying should be, but I will. I think that Coop would go first, then Horry.
Well, I mean, if you're looking at this from more of a historical perspective, because in a lot of ways that's what all these Hall of Fames are, they're museums,
right.
It's easier to tell the story of the NBA without Michael Cooper than Robert Horry.
Except here's my argument for Cooper in a nutshell. He was the best defensive player on 9 finals teams.
Sure.
And Larry Bird said was the best player to ever guard him one-on-one. To me, you're on defense, Andy, 50% of the time. Going full circle with how we started this show, this is why I wouldn't even hesitate to extend Anthony Davis. He gives you a defensive rim stopper every single time he's on the court.
Well, the now, worry would be that he's not on the court enough.
Would you have given Michael Cooper a max extension?
I don't know if Michael Cooper ever made max money.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, your point is that because Anthony Davis is so good defensively that he deserves max money,
right.
But you wouldn't do that for Michael Cooper.
Right, but what do you think Anthony Davis's averages are, points and rebounds, for his career?
Oh, no, but that's the offensive side of it, but he has to be on the floor and he needs to be able to play more than 40
games
a year.
That's the only argument I will listen to as to why you wouldn't extend AD is his availability.
So if you give Anthony Davis max money, and in 3 years...
And by the way, you know
years,
you're giving it to him now.
Sure.
Yeah.
No. An extension
of max
money.
You're just giving him more max money.
Correct. Yeah. So let's say in 3-4 years, do you think he's going to be still worth that much money?
I do. I do. But I'm a bigger Anthony Davis fan, it sounds like, than either one of you guys.
I like Anthony Davis.
You just don't want to give him a max extension in August.
Fool me twice.
Well, McMenamin said, you just wait. You know, McMenamin, who is really smart, I mean, maybe he is... Maybe that is the prudent thing to do. You can always extend him later. The problem is, once you wait, then you have the Julio Urias situation. The Dodgers have lost. I mean, you're not going to get the truth on a lot of broadcast outlets about Julio Urias. He's leaving. All right, they've made him so mad in the way they've treated him. He's out of here. He's going to market, and unless the Dodgers blow him away with a bigger offer than anyone else, he won't be here.
Well,
next
think
year.
About Urias's perspective. He's a World Series hero,
right?
And he's in a contract year, a potential walk year. All he's hearing about is Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Like, they've already prioritized, both in terms of reports and probably reality, they've prioritized Shohei Ohtani ahead of Julio Urias. So think about what that feels like to him when it seems like the team that I'm playing for in a contract year that I've helped win a World Series has already moved past me. Think how that must make him feel.
Right, and they don't even have Shohei Ohtani yet.
No.
I mean, which makes this just super weird. It seems to me that if let's put it this way. I would be giving a lot of attention to Julio Urias just to cover my bases. It doesn't appear that's what the Dodgers have elected to do. Jorge, didn't you tell me you cannot buy a Julio Urias jersey on Dodgers.com or MLB.com?
Yeah, you can.
Well, but this is a thing, though, that we were hearing about Urias beyond just this year. I mean, I remember having conversations with you guys about this with Urias last season, that there were rumblings that he was feeling unappreciated by the Dodgers last year, much less where we are right now. Like, this has been in the ether for a while.
Right. And so if you're a Dodger fan, you just got to hope that all these young guys get healthy. Walker Buehler, Dustin May, Bobby Miller stays healthy. And then you have Kershaw, Gonsolin. You should have enough pitching without him. And then if you get Ohtani, obviously, then that's the whole thing. But Ohtani, nobody knows what he's doing. I think he's going to market. And then you got to be aware of, like, Seattle or San Francisco, somebody with a large Asian population in their city making a run at him and knocking, you know, just making some absurd offer that to give him $600 million, and then you lose.
Well,
him.
I mean, look, it's really going to come down to what he prefers in terms of market, in terms of comfort, because the money is going to be the same with everybody. Like, right. if you
not necessarily, Andy. Remember, every year somebody comes in and does something really dumb. Like when A-Rod was a free agent and the Rangers were bidding against themselves and gave him like $50 million more than anyone else, somebody just could come in and give him so much money. It's the proverbial give him the Godfather offer he can't refuse.
I just feel like the Godfather offer for Ohtani, based on everything we're hearing, is essentially the baseline. Like, I mean, have you heard about anybody not being willing to give him $550, $600 million. Like, that's the baseline,
right,
of what we're hearing. How much more Godfather can a contract be than over $500 million?
But if let's say the Dodgers come in and offer him $600 million. If the Mets or the Yankees come in and offer him $700 million, that's $100 million.
Sure, but I think if you're serious about being in the Ohtani business, and from everything we're hearing, the Dodgers are, they'll counter with $700 million.
Yeah. By the way, if you know this, and I agree with everything you've laid out there, if you know this and you're the Angels, you have to trade him, don't you?
Unless you think you can put yourself in a position to win a World Series, because a World Series means everything you do from that point up to it is justified.
Right. But since he got there, they haven't even sniffed the playoffs.
Look, I'm not making...
You're talking about World Series. They haven't sniffed the playoffs, Andy.
I know they have. Look, I'm not making the argument for doing this. I'm just saying this is what their rationale would be. If we can get ourselves into the World Series, actually win the thing, A, there's your World Series. It justifies whatever happens next. B, we give them a reason to stay.
Well, right now, I think they're in fourth place. In their own division.
Long road to go.
Yeah.
Long road to go.
You are an optimist, my friend. All right, coming up next is the 2 o'clock call of the day. We take at least one call every day. We may take a few. And then at 2:15, we are giving away a pair of tickets to the Mandy's, the sold out Mandy Awards. 877-710-ESPN. Next up, 2 o'clock call of the day. You can comment on anything we've been talking about over the past hour, anything else you want to talk about. 877-710-3776. Andy Kamenetsky in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, Mason and Ireland, ESPN. I like